Holy Eucharist begins on page 355 in the Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Say with me, please. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Bless the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have the grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts, and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel. both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. The word of the Lord. The psalm is read in unison, Psalm 24, page 613 of the Book of Common Prayer. The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein. For it is He who founded it upon the seas, and made it firm upon the rivers of the deep. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? And who can stand in His holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not pledged themselves to falsehood, nor sworn by what is a fraud, they shall receive a blessing from the Lord and a just reward from the God of their salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, of those who seek Your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your head, O gates, lift them high, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them high, O everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place, just as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before Him in love. He destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of His glory. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
King Herod heard of the demons cast out and the many who were anointed and cured, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oath and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When the disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. I love the way theologian and writer Frederick Buechner retells today's gospel story. Here is some of what he writes. "One of the least offensive acts of King Herod Antipas was to walk off with his brother's wife, Herodias. At least there may be something like love in it. But it was against the law, and since John the Baptist was a stickler for that sort of thing, he gave Herod a hard time over it. Needless to say, this did not endear him to Herodias, who urged her husband to make short work of John. Herod said he would only be too pleased to oblige her, but unfortunately, John was a good man with a strong following, and it might lead to unpleasantness. Then one day, Herod threw himself a birthday party, possibly because he couldn't locate anybody who felt like throwing it for him. And one of the guests was Herodias' daughter by her former marriage. Her name was Salome, and she was both Herod's stepdaughter and his niece. As it happened, she was a whiz at dancing. Sometime during the evening, she ripped off a little number that so tickled Herod that he told her he would give her anything that she wanted, up to and including half of his kingdom. Since she already had almost everything a girl could want and was not eager for all the headaches that taking over half of a kingdom would undoubtedly involve, she went out and told her mother Herodias to advise her what she ought to ask for. It didn't take Herodias 20 seconds to tell her. "The head of John," she snapped. So that's what Salome went back and told Herod, adding only that she would prefer it served on a platter. No sooner was it brought to her that she got rid of it like a hot potato by handing it over to her mother. It is not hard to see why. Salome disappears from history at that point, and you can only hope she took the platter with her to remind her that she should be careful where she danced that particular dance in the future, and that she should never ask her mother's advice again about anything, and that even when you cut off a saint's head, it doesn't mean you've heard the last of him by a long shot. Reads better, doesn't it? The thing that makes Buechner a great theologian is his humor. This is a serious story, one devoid of Jesus. I have a vivid recollection from my childhood when I spent hours paging through an oversized book containing detailed lithographs of significant biblical events. It was not a child's picture book. It was a serious piece of art, and it was for adults. This book was almost mesmerizing. And every time I opened it, I paused and studied the amazing depiction of John the Baptist's severed head on a platter given to Herodias by her daughter. It was shocking and terrible. And yet the beauty of Salome standing in the opulent court and making her gift made the scene almost sublime. Every time I looked at the drawing, however, I wondered how anyone could do such a terrible thing. Some years later, in Vietnam, I learned that barbarous and terrible things happen in ways that we wish we had not seen or experienced. The experience of combat is unimaginable and diminishing for us all, even if we win the battle. And as we know, wars are not the only places where unspeakable violence occurs. It is all around us, We are capable of injuring, maiming, and killing today with such efficiency and effectiveness as to be beyond our comprehension. Fortunately, most of us here today are innocent of this kind of violence. However, there is another kind of violence that we engage in every day of our lives, and it is terribly injurious and destructive. There is perhaps nothing that so marks us as human beings as the gift of speech. Who knows to what degree and in what ways animals have the power to communicate with each other? But by all appearances, it is a mere shadow of ours. By speaking, we can reveal the hiddenness of thought. We can express the subtlest as well as the most devastating of emotions. We can heal. We can recite poetry. We can pray. All of which is to say that we can speak the truth of what it is to be ourselves, to be with each other, to be in the world. And such speaking as that is close to what being human is all about. What makes lying, gossip, and malicious and slanderous speech evil is not so much that the world is deceived by it, but rather it is that we are sorely dehumanized and diminished by it, just like any other kinds of violence. Let's admit it. We talk too much. We all talk too much. We are usually talking about ourselves, how wonderful we are, or how miserable we are. Or perhaps we are busy putting someone down, destroying a reputation. Or perhaps we are gossiping about someone's divorce. In 1 Peter, we are told, "He that would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile." The writer of James puts it even more dramatically. "Every beast, reptile, and sea creature has been tamed by humankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. With it we bless the Lord God, and with it we curse humankind, made in God's image." Violence is not just doing physical harm, cutting off heads. It is malicious gossip, betraying confidences of friends and coworkers, lying and trying to save face. Herod was a powerful and complicated character. He respected John the Baptizer despite John's open opposition to his actions, and he listened to John, though John's words puzzled Herod. Herod seemed to have enough self-awareness and confidence and courage to hear criticism, but not enough to change his behavior. In an impulsive moment, he made a promise that gave away his power. He did not question the obligation to do the right thing if the right thing threatened his power. He saw what was right, but he dared not risk it. Like Pilate later on in the story, Herod tried to save face, but he dared not save John's life. How many times have we made similar choices? How many times have we refused to use our knowledge or our power for good because we feared losing it? How many times have we done what is expected rather than what is right? How do we substitute listening for action and excuse ourselves by letting things slide? How do we kill the voice of the prophet within us? And how do we silence those around us if and when they call us to repentance? Herod's guests represent the society around us, the status quo, the group that both follows and limits its leaders. They uphold the assumptions and rules that they have been taught. They are the voices that say, but we've always done it this way. And we can't follow those crazy idealists or those young people or listen to those wild prophets. It will threaten and take away everything we love. Why is it that we perpetuate the stereotypes we have been taught, accept the rules without questioning whether they are right or just, and assume that the prophets are crazy? It is really hard to see the good news in this gospel. Jesus does not even appear in this story. He is off somewhere else, healing another child, talking to other people. His time to meet the ruler Herod has not yet come. He was not invited to the birthday party. If we want to find Jesus, we must leave this story taking what it teaches us about ourselves and invite him into our own story. And when Jesus comes to us, and he will come, what will he find? Amen. Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 358. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. And he has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who are sick, lonely, hungry, or in pain. Comfort them and give them strength. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, bless this cathedral that we may serve you here in the heart of God. watch over this city, that there may be an end to poverty and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring peace to our broken world, that there may be greater understanding among races and people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us to care for the earth as your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask you to bless all who have died and comfort those who mourn for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Confession of sin is on page 360. Let us confess our sins together before God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors and ourselves. We are truly sorry. We humbly repent. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you of all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. I'd like to welcome all of our visitors today. Do we have anyone that is a visitor or new? Please show me your hand. One brave soul, a couple of brave souls. Very good. Welcome. Speak to the persons next to you right now, please. Speak to them and ask them to show you the way to Coffee Hour. Okay? We have a wonderful coffee hour right after this service. And welcome to you all. And please fill out the little card that you find on the pew and make yourselves known to us. Kate is in Canoga this week, chaplaining. Lord knows who, I don't know. But she's there, and she's there with her family, and that's the more important part of that exercise as far as I'm concerned. So, this week, we are hosting three families in the church through the Family Promise program. And if you haven't already contacted Teresa and you would like to help out with Family Promise, see Teresa after the service, please. Incredible program and very satisfying and blessing for all of us. The gospel reading today was pretty tough reading, pretty tough. There was an error in it, however. Salome, who does not appear in the canons, the gospels, does appear in history, however, and she is reported to have danced that dance and all of that by Josephus. And there is at least one other historian that refers back to Salome. So if you were confused by the reading that you read or that you heard our deacon read and you heard what Buechner had to say, it was an amalgam. So just for clarity, I know you people read. So I just want to be sure that you know Salome is really part and parcel of the story, and she was the daughter of Herodias. Okay. We will get through this, I promise. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and make good your vows to the Most High.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to a new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, the perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us join together in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.